It's over there. There's an orange one. Okay. Well, I see you was usually over there. You could see it.
I know, but I'm over here.
Okay. Chapter 5 of John. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man responded to him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming down, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, 'Take up thy bed and walk.'" Then asked they him, "What man is it that said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" And he said, "He that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said to him, 'Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father works hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said to them, 'Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness to the truth. But I receive not testimony from a man. But these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. You have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him you have not believed. You believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come to my Father's in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Boy, is there some good stuff in here. Oh, good stuff. Again, this whole teaching, this whole process, we've been doing it now for 3 years. We're not through yet. What's it called? The mind of Christ. The only way we can get the mind of Christ is learn his thinking process. If I think like Claudia thinks, guess what mind I have? The mind of Claudia. Right? So if I think like God does, what kind of mind do I have? I got the mind of God. The mind of Christ is nothing more than the mind of the Father. Doing the will of God. Okay? We can't do what we think God wants. We have to have a witness of everything we do. And see, God will never tell you to do anything contrary to this scripture. Although we hear people prophesy and say all kinds of things that God said to do, God didn't say them. God gets labeled and blamed for all kinds of things God didn't say or do. So many people, if they would read this word, it says in the Old Testament under the law, it says this in the Pentateuch, if anyone come and prophesy in the name of the Lord and say, thus saith the Lord, and it come not to pass, fear not that person because they're not a prophet of God. Well, you know what? I don't know anybody in the Passover and Pentecost realms that run around prophesying that hasn't told many, many prophecies from their soulish realm, not by the Spirit of God. Been guilty myself. The learning process. There's no condemnation in it. I learn from it. I learn to keep my mouth shut until I know the Spirit of God is urging me with his size 10 in my rear end. I know when he wants me to say something. And when he don't, you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to fill in the gaps. If there's any gaps there, he left them there, not me. So I only do what my Father tells me to do. And I can back up on that and stand on it because I think I heard it just in this chapter, didn't I? I only do what my Father tells me to do, okay? And that's what I'm doing. I don't have to meet anybody else's criteria, do I? Do you? You only have to meet Father's criteria. You don't have to meet anybody else. You don't have to fit some program or some other doctrine or agenda. All I have to do is what my Father tells me to do, and that's all we have to do. If you can learn that and be confident in that, your life will be easy inside. You still will be attacked outside. Okay? And said, after these things, and I can't go back and tell you about all the things he's talking about in the first few chapters, 4 chapters of John, but after these things, it says, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is in Jerusalem, not at Jerusalem, but in Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethsaida, okay? When it says sheep market, literally, that's not what the language says. It says sheep gate. It's an entrance where the sheep came through. Obviously, it's not an entrance as big as the big main gates, is it? It's a smaller entrance. It's a sheep gate. And what would sheep refer to? Because this is a parable. If you haven't noticed it yet, I'll express it as we go. This is a parable. Huh? Sheep is people, right? Okay? And there's a pool there which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida. What does that mean? Bethsaida. It's a house of mercy, or there's another understanding for it, another rendering, house of flowing water. Hello. A house of flowing water. What would that be? The Word of God. So there's a place for the sheep, and it's a place where there is flowing water, correct? And he said, in this place, it has five porches. What do you think F5 represents? It's the grace and mercy of God. Where there's word flowing, guess what there is? There's grace and mercy. Come on, it's not that hard, is it? This is a parable we're looking at. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Hello, he's talking about the church world, the sheep. And they're laying in these gates with flowing water, but you know what? They're blind, and have we been talking about that all evening? They're blind and they're deaf. They're walking around like dead people. All they're doing talking about carnal things. Nobody talking about the Spirit of God. Okay? They're impotent folk. They're blind. They're limping. They're withered. They're waiting for the stirring of the water. Yeah, come on down, preacher, and stir it up for me. It's already flowing water. It's the living word. It's flowing from your belly, from your innermost being, from your spirit. See? You don't need nobody to stir it up in you. What did we say about David a while ago? David, when no one would encourage him, he encouraged himself. He stirred it up in himself. You can stir it up in yourself. You know why you can? Because he lives within you. He can stir all the water he wants. He's that living water. Is that right? Okay. But here's what they do under the religion, see. We've got to realize we're talking about people that's locked up under religion. They wait for a messenger to come down, don't they? Well, let's have a conference. Let's have a revival. You need to come back to life? Yeah, most Christians do need to come to life. Relive is what it means. Because they really haven't lived yet. You know, they haven't come back. They haven't been revitalized yet, I guarantee you. They're waiting. That because an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred the water, okay, the word, whosoever then first, in the midst of the troubling or the stirring of the word, stepped in was made what? Now, whole of whatsoever disease he had. Again, I'm telling you, this is a parable. When they stepped into the word that's been stirred up, they were what? They were made whole. But now we don't even have to really talk about the diseases, because you know what the language says about that word there? It makes them, in the figurative language, this word, when it says whole, means true in doctrine. What are we talking about now? The Word of God. See, you step into the Word of God when it's been stirred, and you know what it's going to do to you? It's going to put the truth in your mind. Jesus said in John 8, we ain't there yet, but he says, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, my disciplined ones. And you shall know the truth. And that truth that you know will make you freedom. You'll actually be freedom, something I can give you. See, being free is an adjective. But being freedom is a noun. Anything that's a noun can be possessed and given to somebody. See, I can give it to you. If I'm freedom, I can give it to you. Just like Jesus said, I am the life. He can give it to you. See, if I have life in me, what can I do? Give it to you. See, it's a noun. It's not an adjective. It's not something describing me. It's what I am. It's life. You can give it away. Okay? And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Oh my, what is this? A certain man was there which had an infirmity. What was it? The infirmity, the word literally says either mind or body. Where's the infirmity? It's in the mind. And he had it for how many years? 38 years. You know what that tells me? 38. Look here. 3 and 8. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, Let every word be established. What's the number eight? It's a witness of the new beginning of man. When that word stirred up in you. Oh, goodness. It's a witness of this. And this certain man laid there. And what this 38 years is not a literal 38 years. It's symbolic. Your 38 years might be 50 years. Somebody else's years might be 5 years or 10 years. It's whenever God chooses to use it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And when Jesus saw him not lie, but the language says lying there, and knew that he had been, the word been should be been held. He had been held now a long time, and the words in that case shouldn't he be there. He'd been held now a long time. He said to him, do you desire to be made true in doctrine? That's the figurative side of it, says to be true in doctrine. Do you desire to be made whole? There's something going to have to be stirred in you. And the Christ says, do you desire to have your mind changed? Come on. Do you desire to have your mind changed? Romans 12:1. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. See? Right, you want it. Do you want to be? See? Do you want it? That's why he's saying, if you don't want it, go on down the road. If you want it, it's free, but you've got to have a desire in your heart to have this word. It's not something that you can just play at. It's nothing God's going to force upon you. But I'll say it this way. He creates the desire. See? He gives you something that you taste of. Like you said, Cindy, you tasted of that peace and joy when you first started. We said this evening. When you first started, and then things change. You got a little rougher at times. You've got to labor a little bit here and there. But guess what? It's okay. Because he gave you a taste of something that you'll never forget. No matter where Cindy goes the rest of her life, no matter what goes on in your life, you'll never forget when you tasted that, will you? Nobody can take that away from you, see? When you taste of it, there's no way. What does the psalm say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. Okay. And once you taste of it, it's over with. You're locked in. Okay. He said, do you desire to be made true in doctrine? Do you really want your mind changed? Are you willing to give up your way of thinking to do my will? And the impotent man, that's me with my sick mind when I started, that's you with your sick mind when you was walking around, Bob, like those people you were talking about that you didn't see anything in behind their eyes, that's that impotent man. That's an impotent humanity. Responded to him and said this. The word sir is literally Lord. Lord, I have no man. See? You know what he's saying? I ain't got no external thing to help me. Well, hello, there is no such thing. There's no external anything that's going to help you, is there? The internal man's the only one that's going to help you. Nope. Don't have no pool man at this house. He lives inside. Okay? He said, I have no external man when the water is troubled, when the word is stirred up in me to put me in the pool. Okay? No one's going to put me in the word. Well, hello, I can preach till I'm blue in the face and got pink polka dots on me and purple stripes on me. And you know what? I still can't put you in the word. You've got to have a desire yourself. And if God doesn't create that desire in you, you're wasting your time. You can't make it happen. This is something that comes from the Spirit of God. It's the Christ that creates this desire. And once you get the taste, oh, you'll never want to go back. Don't worry about that. Your mind might tell you want to go back, but you can't. There's no way back. He said, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. What do you think that is, stepping down before you? What do you think's always getting in the way? How about the ego? The carnal mind. The carnal mind's the only enemy you have. And this man's talking about somebody cutting him off all the time. Well, remember what Paul said in Romans 7? The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. He's talking about that in that mind. It's all about this mind thing. It's all internal. Jesus said to him, now here's the neat thing. Yeah, you ought to plug it in, huh? Look what Jesus said to this man. Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. He didn't say, pray through. Go get saved. He didn't say, say three Hail Marys. He didn't say anything like that, did he? He just said, get up and walk. You know what he's telling you? The answer's internal. It's in you. All he did was speak to the man by the Spirit, and Spirit talks to Spirit. It doesn't talk to flesh. And he told that man inside of him, you got what it takes. You got what it takes, Bob. Stand up and walk. You don't need somebody to hold your hand. You don't need to lay here. You don't have somebody to carry you over and put you in the Word. You're a man. Stand up and do it. That's what God's telling him. Just stand up. He's telling all of us the same thing. Just stand up and do it, because I already have given you everything you need. He said he pours out his Spirit without measure upon his sons. Are we sons of God? Come on. We've got it within us, but you've got to realize that this mind between your ears is going to deny it, deny it, deny it. You know what? It's a liar. God said he poured out his Spirit upon you without measure. And all you've got to do is hear the Spirit speak it, and you'll never go back again. Oh, it gets good. And immediately the man was made what? True in doctrine, see? He understood, his mind was straightened up. The only thing that kept this man crippled was his thinking. The only thing that keeps anybody on the faces, and I know the doctors won't believe me, but the only thing that cripples anybody on the face of this earth is their thinking process. There's the problem with everybody. It's a thinking process. We think we have a better idea. Wrong. If my mind is right before God, I have no problems. And I'm not even talking about this physical flesh. I'm not even talking about that. I'm telling you the only problem we got is the way we think. If I have my mind renewed in Christ, if I have the mind of Christ, Paul said, you have, we have the mind of Christ. Not going to get it, we already got it. Is that right? So if we got it, the only problem is, do we believe it? Do you believe you have the mind of Christ? Do you believe that you can speak the Word of God? Now, this can't be a maybe. Well, if I'm spiritual, if I go off in the corner and pray and fast, then maybe I can speak the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, Jesus only fasted one time I know of. You hear me? He didn't run out before he got a hold of somebody with devils and had to cast them out. He didn't have to go out and say, boys, hold up, let me go fast and pray for a few days. I'll be back and cast them devils out when I get spiritual. Either you have the anointing or you don't have an anointing. Simple as that. It's in there. Utilize it. See? Utilize it. See, this religious garbage and bunk that they feed us, well, we got to get spiritual and pray and fast and everything before we can deal with it. And there's a passage in the Scriptures where Jesus was dealing with his apostles and they couldn't cast something out. And they said, why can't we cast this out? And they said, well, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. That's an added piece of language in the book. You know, go to the older writings, you'll find out that's something that's been added in, some of the things to make religion sound better. Okay? You've got to do some homework to find these things out. But immediately the man was made whole, he was made true in doctrine, and he took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, why? Why was he made whole? Why was he made true in doctrine? He heard the God in Jesus, the Christ in Jesus, talk to him. How can two agree, walk together except they be agreed? Deep calls into the deep. God speaks to God. Spirit speaks to Spirit. And the Spirit of God spoke to this humanity and said, take up your bed and walk. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you are? If you know who you are, you just stand up and walk out. Remember that stone they had rolled over the grave? You remember in we'll get at the end of this chapter, end of this book here again. Remember the stone was rolled away? then what's keeping you in the grave? Huh? It's tradition. This mind, see, he's already set us free. The stone's been rolled away. Get up and walk out of the grave. Okay? That's most of our churches. And I know I get lambasted because I say things like that, but that's the truth. You know, Jesus said some hard things to these people here, didn't he? Just hang on. He was talking to the religious leaders of the day, and he lambasted them pretty good. See, they're trying to kill him, and he did what he was supposed to do. And in the end of this chapter, he goes back and says, I'll get to it when I get there. Anyway, he was telling them they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. He said, you don't have the Word in you. That's what he said. You know what that would do to most preachers today if someone told them, you ain't got the Word in you. You know what it does to them? It offends them. It offends them immediately. Truth is truth, isn't it? I got to say truth. That's what my Father's told me to do, and that's what I'll do. Okay? Verse 10. The Jews therefore said to him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he responded to them, he that made me true in doctrine, who changed my mind, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk. And they asked him, what man is it which said to you, take up your bed and walk? But he that was healed, or made true in his head, you know, knew not who it was, because Jesus quietly withdrew, because there was a multitude in that place. He just quietly withdrew. Mm-hmm. It wasn't his time yet. But see, most people, now you look at today, I don't care, names mean nothing to me, it don't mean, it's just religion. Look at the people today and all their great healing ministries. Hundreds of thousands of people watching them, right? Big meetings, 50, 100,000 people. When they heal somebody, supposedly, do they quietly withdraw themselves? What do? Sure, they brag about it. Something's wrong. Picture's wrong. Jesus healed a man and walked away and hid. He didn't want no attention. I'm telling you, the Son of God, the sons of God do not look for attention. You'll get it, but it won't be the way most people want to get it. I'm telling you. But you'll get your attention the way he wants you to have it. See? But there's too many people trying to do things in the name of God, and they're drawing attention to themselves. Too much of that going on. All the big names do those things. I don't care. I said all, and I mean all. They all do it. I've watched them do it, seen them do it, so I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And who's getting the glory? The guy speaking. Sure. Okay. Yep. Verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple. That's the natural temple, the Hieron. And said to him, behold, you're made whole. Your head straightened out. You got the mind now. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come to you. Now, why did he tell him that? Why did he tell him, sin no more, lest the worst thing come to you? Well, why did he say it, though? Why? He's telling him not to do it, but why did he say that? One more thing. No. Here's what it is. He's still under the law. See? Grace and mercy had not yet been released. The new covenant hasn't come yet because Jesus has not been sacrificed yet. So that's why he said, you're still under the law. You got to obey the law right yet. This man had got grace and mercy. He'd got the mind, but he still was under the law, just like Jesus was. Jesus was required to fulfill the law, wasn't he? He couldn't walk around it just because he was the Son of God, could he? Okay? He was still under the law, and that's important to know that. Okay? Knowing that he had the truth and messing something up in his, before his time. Okay. Verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, or made his mind right. Okay? And because of this, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. You know what? They don't respect the Sabbath day either. When do preachers work? Isn't that hypocritical? I think it's funny. Well, you see what I'm saying? Under the law, they were violating the law. They were working. That was their job. Nobody else was allowed to do anything, see? Yeah, they'd be in spiritual, all right. Yeah, they were counting the money. That's what they was. They was keeping everybody's eyes glued to them while the thieves went around, collected the money, and counted it. Yeah. Okay. Verse 17. But Jesus responded to them, "My Father worked until now." That's what the language says. My Father worked until... It doesn't say worked hitherto. It says, "My Father worked until now." The word now, I mean the word and, should be now. Now I work. My Father worked until now. Now I'm working. See? No. The Father worked up until now. Now I'm working. That's what it says. There was no rest. Wasn't time yet. Okay? Therefore the Jews sought more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath according to their traditions, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Uh-oh. Well, when we say, God is my Father, I'm his son. I had a man stand right back here, and because I told him I had resurrection life and I was a child of God, he wanted to punch me out. That's okay. See, they don't understand. I never got mad at the man. In fact, people tried to get between me and him. I said, leave him alone. If he wants to knock me out, let him knock me out. If God wants him to, but the man didn't do it, so obviously he was just bluffing, but didn't make any difference. Okay. And then Jesus responded and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself, but what he sees the Father do, because what things soever the Father does, these also does the Son likewise." Well, that sets a pattern to me. Did you see the pattern? Whatever the Father does, the Son does. So, guess what? If he's my Father, guess what I got to do? I better start acting like him, hadn't I? Does that make sense to you? There's a pattern here. He said, the Son does what the Father does. So, if the Father is full of grace and mercy, guess what I got to be? Full of grace and mercy. And it's not to store it up and say, hey, I got a whole bunch of grace and mercy in a sack over here. It's so I can give it to somebody. And if you have God's grace and mercy, you can't give it all away. Because every time you pour it out, it's multiplied. Okay? Verse 20. Because the Father loves the Son and shows him some things that himself does. What's he showing? See, the Son, the true sons of God are not ignorant of what God's doing. But what the true sons see is not going to match up with what the half-brothers are going to be doing. You hear me? How many brothers did Joseph have? 11. How many full-blood brothers did he have? 1. He had 10, the law, and the law is only a half-brother. The ones in the law are only half-brothers. They're not full-blood brothers till they come into the mercy and grace of God and the full authority of God. Okay? But because the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. He's talking to the religious folk. Because just as the Father raised up the dead and invigorates or revitalizes them, even so the Son invigorates or revitalizes whom he chooses. See, not my choice, is it? See, if I want someone to hear this truth, it's not my choice, is it? If God chooses to revitalize them, to restore them, to raise and put life back in that carcass, that's his business, not mine. Because the Father judges, or literally condemns, no man. You hear that? The Father condemns no man, but has given, not committed, but given all decisions to the Son. Now, what do you think the son's going to say? What kind of a sentence do you think the son, what kind of decision do you think the son's going to give to the father when you stand before him? Not guilty. Innocent. Unblameable. Unreprovable. Holy. Righteous. Sons of God. Hello. That's what he's going to say. Now, if that's what he says, guess what I got to say? As a son of God, what have I got to say? I don't care if they drove nails in me. What do I say? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. True or false? I don't care what they do to me. I don't have the right to retaliate and judge somebody wrongly because God has them in my life for me to show the mercy and grace in my heart. If I can't do that, I'm not a son of God. I'm an illegitimate son, as he says, okay, in Hebrews. But if I'm a son, a true son of God, I must have the same heart as my father. Can't be. There's no option about that. If I'm just like him, and that's why Jesus was being condemned, because he said, I'm just like my father. You seen me, you seen the father. Right? Come on. Okay, where am I at? 23. He's given all decisions to the son in order that all men should honor the son. He gave all this to the son that all men should honor the son just as they honor the father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Do you know how many people disrespect the Son? Because the Son is not the one man Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you, he's a pattern. He's the pattern Son. And the first time those words rang in my heart, that I heard them in my ears, it changed my life, that he was the pattern Son. How many people honored and respected Jesus when he walked on the earth as a man? Very, very few. Guess what? You think it's any different today? And if they don't honor true sons of God, they're not honoring the Father, are they? Is that right? Just what he said. If you don't honor the Father, if you don't honor the Son, you're not honoring the Father, which has sent him. And Jesus goes on in verse 24 and says, verily, verily, I say to you, he that hears my word, my logos, the spiritual word, and believes not on him, but believes the one that sent me, has what? Aeonious life. Aeonious Zoe. Everlasting or ageless life. Means there's no end to it. And shall not come into what? Not condemnation. The word is crisis. Judgment. They will not come into judgment. But is changed, not past, but changed from death to life. Now, how could I be judged once I've been restored to life? You can't judge life. You can't judge the Spirit of God. You can't. It's an impossibility. So, remember Jesus said this, or Paul wrote rather, if you judge yourself, you'll be judged of no man. Okay? I can judge myself. And when I see myself now, you know the hardest thing I got to do? I got to look at myself and say, not guilty. See, I know what all of Dave's done. I know where Dave's been in his life, just like you know about your life. The hardest one you can forgive is yourself. That's the one that keeps you out of the pool. That's the one in the mind that keeps you accused every day. And if you don't look at yourself and say, you're a liar, he said, I'm not guilty. Okay. If you can't say that, you'll never walk in the liberty of God. You've got to forgive yourself for everything you've ever done. You've got to walk it out. You got to know this. Verily, verily, verse 25, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, and I talk about spiritual now, not talking about dead people coming out of the graves, we're talking about the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We're not talking about people coming up out of the ground. He wasn't talking about the day that he was resurrected and people come up out of the ground. We're not talking about that. He's saying, whenever this dead person, ones we were talking about, Bob, you look in their eyes and you don't see anything in there. And when the Word of God comes into their life, a light comes on behind them, little balls of mud in their skull that they call eyeballs. And all of a sudden, there's something behind there. Lazarus, come forth. Okay? Guess what? Now there's light in there. Now I can see something in that person. Okay? But it's his choice. And he's telling you, the time's coming when they're going to hear this voice of the Son of God, and the ones that hear it shall live. What about the ones that don't hear it? Well, they're coming later. They're coming later. Not yet. Verse 26. Because just as the Father has life in himself, in this way has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to make decisions also, because he is the Son of Man. He gave him the authority to make the decisions. Now, why did he give him authority to make decisions? Why did God choose to give his Son that authority? Listen, think. Why did he give it to him? He had the same mind. He had the same mind as his Father. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen him, you've seen me. I'll do nothing except what my Father does or what he says. Same mind. Same mind. Huh? He was created right out of him, but he had that total mind in him. And so do you. So do you. It may not be stirred up yet, but it's there. He said, marvel not at this, because the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Excuse me, he didn't say part of them. He said, the hour is coming when all shall that's in the grave shall hear his voice. That means everybody throughout all humanity that's ever been put down, ever died without knowing God, made no difference. He said, A-L-L, Greek words, pos, means all, everything, the whole. Is that reconciliation? I'd like to find somebody that could disprove reconciliation. Because you can't. It's an impossibility. It's a truth. And shall come forth. He said, they'll hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of what? What is it? No, it's judgment. To the resurrection of judgment. But you know what? This was still written under the law, wasn't it? In their mind, what are they still thinking? God's going to get me. God's going to get me. Ooh, I've done terrible things. God's going to get me. But see, they don't understand. When Jesus stands there as the judge, the Christ stands out as the judge who's been given all decisions to make, right? What's he going to say? He came to deliver the world, not to condemn it. And everybody's saying, oh, he's going to throw you in hell. He's going to condemn you. How can he be a condemner? He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He can't be both things. That's an oxymoron. It's an impossibility. God can't be a condemner. He's a savior. Hello? Oxymoron, if anybody understands that, means when you say it, it can't possibly be true. If I say it contradicts, the statement contradicts itself as soon as I say it. So he can't be a condemner, can he? So what he's going to say, they're going to come to the resurrection of judgment and say, I don't have to be judged because you're already judged here by yourself, right? And when you judge yourself, you'll not be judged by anybody. And when you come up to be judged, the ones that haven't judged themselves, he's going to say, well, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? They don't know what they've been doing. Like Stephen said, don't lay this sin to their charge. Okay? Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. I can do absolutely nothing, is what the language is. I can of myself do absolutely nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my decision, not judgment, but my decision is righteous. That's what the language is. My decision is righteous. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Let me read you a few verses. I want to start in Psalm 40, verse 8. This is the Spirit of God. This is the Christ speaking through David. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. That's the heart of the Father. That's the heart of the Son, to do the Father's will, isn't it? Let's go to Matthew 26:39. Just give a few witnesses here. When Jesus was in the garden, of Gethsemane, he said he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not my desire, but your desire." Okay? We can go on into John 4, verse 34. Let me back up a little bit here. John 4 and 34. I'll read it to you. Jesus said to them, "My source of life, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work." Okay? To finish it. Did he succeed or not? Sure he did. And you can go in John 6, verse 38, and it says this, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." What's the purpose of the Son of God? To do the will of the Father. That's why I gave you those references. Okay? Verse 31, "If I bear witness or testify of myself," if I bear a testimony of myself, concerning myself, "my witness or my testimony is not true. There is another that testifies of me," concerning me, "and I know that the testimony which he testifies to concerning me is true. You sent to John, and he testified to the truth." What was that? Didn't Jesus say, "I am the truth"? He said, But I receive not testimony from humanity. But these things I say in order that you," what? Cross out that word "might," because there's no thinking about it. That word "might" is absolutely a King James demonic word. Okay? Because "might" contradicts it. God said he come to save us, deliver us, right? And he's going to do exactly what he said. It's not a might or a maybe. That means maybe we might get there. Yeah. No definite anything. But we might be delivered. He said, "I say this in order that you be delivered." He said, "I'm saying this so you can be delivered. Not so you can think I might make it if I'm a good person." That's not even what it's about. Okay? He's talking about John here. "He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." Right? He's telling them, you were willing to do it for a short season in his light. You know how many people likes to use somebody else's light? Most people. I want to read you something out of the book of Hebrews. In verse 6, the last part says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And the angel said, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" He makes his ministers a flame of fire. Who do you think he's talking about here? John was one of his ministers. Yeah. John did what he was supposed to. He finished his task and went on. He said, "But I have a greater witness than that of John, because the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, testify concerning me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has testified concerning me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape or his form. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I'd say those people weren't even listening for God, were they? They didn't have the ability yet. And you have not his word abiding in you. Boy, there's a slam dunk. Here is people that have the word of God to be these priests. They had to be able to quote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And he said, you don't have the word in you. But preachers ain't supposed to say things like that, are they? That's what I get lambasted about, because I say the truth. Jesus said it. He called them snakes. He said, your daddy is a snake, and you're a snake, and your kids are snakes. Oh, I know they were. They still are. Them snakes still don't hear good. Okay? Snakes don't really listen very good anyway. In the natural, they sense with their tongues. Okay? Huh? Vibration, yeah. They sense with their tongue. They sense heat and vibration. Yep. Okay. Verse 36. But I have... No, I'm down to 38, aren't I? And you have not his word abiding in you, because whom he has sent, him you believe not. If you don't believe whom God sends, he says you don't have the word of God in you. If you don't believe the one that God sends to you, are you going to hear it? Remember what he said to Lazarus, the rich man? He said, send Lazarus back and tell him to warn my brothers what's happening down here. What'd he say? If he won't hear, he has Moses and the prophets. If he won't hear them, he won't hear one raised from the dead. Leave him alone. They all got to go the same course, don't they? Verse 39. Now he's giving you some direction. Search the scriptures, because in them you think you possess the ageless life. And they are they which testify concerning me. They're testifying or concerning him. Okay? You think you have, he says. Did he say you had it? He's saying you're falsely trusting in the law of Moses. Because the law of Moses, although it was righteous, all it could do was remind you that you was a heathen. You're a sinner. It took Jesus to come and sacrifice his life to be able to realize, I don't have to go through this no more. It's been taken care of. Because the law will always point you back to the fact that I got to sacrifice again and again and again. Verse 40, and you will not come to me in order that you not might have, but you in order that you possess life. The only way you're going to possess life is come to Christ. Isn't that what he's saying? The only way you can possess life is come to Christ. I receive not glory from humanity, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. There's another slam dunk. If Jesus was here saying this today, they'd wrote bad letters to him too. They would. It's the same thing. Oh, you've got to be real nice. Truth is truth. If you take offense because someone speaks truth, the problem lies within your own heart. Do you hear me? You're hearing amiss. You're not hearing what the Spirit's saying. You're hearing with your intellect if you're offended. Okay? Hear with your spirit. Proverbs says this, we must love, rebuke, and correction. If we don't love it, not because we like to get beat up, but because we know it'll make me a better person. It'll make me closer to what I'm supposed to be. It'll bring me to the reality of my true identity when I give up my pride, my ego. Okay? He said, but I know you that you have not, because you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's nature and character. I've come just as my Father, is what he's saying, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own nature, him you will receive. Hey, look at today. If you've got the ministries, you've got the monies, you've got the notoriety, the TV, the radio, and all this fancy stuff, guess what you are? You're a good old boy, you belong to the good old boy club, and you'll be received. But you come tell them the truth, boy, you're in trouble. you're in trouble. He said, how can you believe which receive honor from one another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? See, there's a problem. People's trying to satisfy what everybody wants instead of doing what the Father wants, because they don't have ears to start with. First of all, the problem is not their ears, it's their heart. They don't have a desire to know the truth. You know what the truth will do? Truth will make you freedom, but truth will also offend. Men love what? Darkness. They don't love the light. The light will expose you, so they don't like it. Do not think, that I will accuse you to the Father. Boy, that says a mouthful, don't it? Jesus is going to throw you in hell. No, he ain't. He said, I will not accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you. He said, I don't have to accuse you. You already got one. Who is it? It says Moses, in whom you trust. The law will condemn you. Hello? Didn't the law tell you messed up and you got to go back every year and do it again? If I sacrificed today and did something tomorrow, there was a sacrifice I had to take to tomorrow. If I do something the next day, there's another sacrifice I got to do. All it's doing is reminding me I got to keep going back and doing it again. It's condemnation. I don't have to go back anymore, and that's what he's trying to tell you here. I will not accuse you to the Father. You already got one. It's called the law. It's called religion and tradition that they've already put on you. Because had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote concerning me. Everything Moses wrote concerned Christ. Well, you just don't understand. That's his books about all the things that happened back there. No, it's not. If you're reading with your natural mind, it's a history book, and that's what you're thinking. But if you're listening by the Spirit of God, every bit of those, every word back there tells you something about the Christ. The tabernacle, every detail of that tabernacle was another detail of the life of Christ. Everything about it. Everything about it. Even when the Holy of Holies, remember what it was covered with? The badger skins. Rough, hard, not looking good. They dyed it with red, the blood of Christ. See? Doesn't the Scripture say in Isaiah, he was nothing comely to look at? It's not a coincidence. He was beaten beyond recognition. Yeah. Okay? But look at verse 47. Did I do 46? Because had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote concerning me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, got to ask a question. How are you going to believe the writings if you don't read them? How are you going to believe the writings of Moses if you don't read them? Right? Psalm 40 says, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written concerning me, Christ. The volume of the book, what is that? The whole thing. Every bit of this is about him. Jesus is the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's all. Come on. This is all about him. And if we don't understand it, how are we going to know what the Word of God is if we don't read it? And people run around saying, you don't need to read the Bible no more. Just do whatever's in your heart. Yeah, got a problem with it. I get lambasted for that one too. I don't care. Because I'll never tell anyone to forget this book. Never. I will never tell anyone that. And cut my tongue out if they want to. Pull my fingernails out. I don't care. I will never tell anyone that this book doesn't take you and realign you with your Father. Because it does. Absolutely does that. Huh? It's the mirror. It's the witness that you need to bring the life in you. When you read it in here, it stirs and agitates the water in you, and then you can see the reflection. Okay. But you know when water's stirred up and you're looking in it, do you get a good clear picture all of a sudden? It's kind of rippled, you know, and when you give a little bit of time in there and let that word kind of mellow out in you, you'll start to get a better reflection, won't you? Oh, it's peaceful. Why do you think Jesus always went to the water or a mountain when he needed some time off. No doubt about that. No doubt of that.